You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. It is Saturday, November the 22nd, and we have got a barn burner for you tonight. I should let you know that Keith Alexander, myself, and Eddie the Bombardier Miller got together for lunch day before yesterday, was it, guys? What day would that be? Thursday? Thursday. We got together Thursday for lunch, and it was just a beautiful day in Memphis. We were together, and I was at the head of the table, and Keith and Eddie were on both of my flanks, and we just had this great spirit and brotherhood and camaraderie, and we were right across the street from this homosexual church, quote-unquote church, and so we had some fun with that. But anyway, the spirit was just so good. I said, let's try a different format tonight. You know, typically what we do is we bring one of the hosts in, one of the co-hosts in for an hour or two, and then we go to normally Eddie the Bombardier Miller in the third hour with me running point for whoever is with me. But we had such a good lunch the other day, and it was actually the first time we had gotten together since the anniversary celebration in late October. And it was the first time we'd gotten together in the flesh since the anniversary celebration. We had such a good time, I just figured, let's try a slightly different format tonight, just as an experiment. Let's all three be together in the studio for the entire 3 hours and just see how it goes. Now, typically, we have a hard time sharing the mic, but I know my kids are going to share. Now, we've talked about this. We're gonna share tonight. We do have a couple of mics, and we're going to see how it goes. But anyway, I just thought that would be fun to kind of have a roundtable discussion. And everything we talked about discussing that Thursday afternoon was changed by Thursday night when Obama granted amnesty. So what we're going to do now is last week's guest, one of the two featured guests we had, Joe McCutchen, will be back with us tonight. He's returning to the show for the second consecutive week. He's going to join forces with me and Keith and Eddie. And we're going to break down Obama's illegal amnesty, which was granted in Las Vegas on Thursday night. And then we're going to discuss at length in the second hour of tonight's show the latest developments in Ferguson. And then we're going to what are we going to do in the third hour? We're going to bash the churches a little more for good measure. And you put it all in the blender, and we're going to see how it comes out. But I think it's going to be a show you don't want to miss. Joe McCutchen, again, anchoring the program. It should be fun. Before I introduce the guys, before I introduce the band, a couple of quick things in addition to the lunch. I got an email today. Now, it's not unusual for us to get innumerable emails, but I got one today that I can seriously say in 10 years I have never before read. A fan of the show, so enamored with our work, is getting a political cesspool tattoo. It is happening. And it's in commemoration of he and his wife's 30-year anniversary, and they're both getting tattoos to commemorate 30 years of marriage. And this gentleman, and he is that and then some, was at our anniversary party, and he's getting a no retreat, no surrender, no apology affixed to his person. Eddie said he's going to do that next. And so I'm very happy about that. That is something I can say I literally have not read before, and God bless you, fella, for that. That is a true devotion. I think me, Eddie, and Keith might follow suit. We're all going to go in together. But, and I also got in the mail a couple of things. When I went to the P.O. box, I got this big legal envelope, and I opened it up. Now, this is what kind of fans we have. I open it up, and it is nothing but a picture of Frankie Valli. It is just a picture of Frankie and nothing else. And that's it. He's standing in a window posing. A little news story from, I guess, a New York newspaper. Anyway, didn't come with a note, a return address, nothing. I just open it up and I see Frankie. Thank you for that. And I got a book. Where's that book, Keith? Can you show that very quickly? Endangered Species. This is going to be the incentive for our fourth quarter fundraising drive, which will kick off next week. It's written by a red-haired siren. I called this lady right before the show started. Her name is Regan O'Carroll. Endangered Species, White guilt equals white extinction. She sent me an advanced copy or a preview copy, and I haven't been able to read it all, but what I've read is very, very good. In fact, so good, we're moving it up to the front of the line for fundraising incentives. So there you have it. That's the news of the day, or at least the opening banner. Let's let everybody say hello that's in here tonight. Again, it's going to be interesting to have all three of us in at the same time. We'll see how much this works or doesn't work, but it's a good experiment nevertheless. Eddie the Bombardier Miller.
Well, good evening, all our brothers and sisters out there in arms. What a great honor it is to be before y'all tonight. I can truthfully say, and I know Keith and James feel the same way, we love you people. Matter of fact, we were talking about the political cesspool birthday party the other day, and I knew that we were a pretty good steed with our listeners, but I had no idea just how much we were loved. But you know what? We love you people all together, just like y'all do us. And I can truthfully say, have we all got along here great 100% of the time? No. Have we locked horns before? Yes, we have. But are we brothers, I mean, to the bone forever? Yes, we are. And with that, I'm going to pass it on to my esteemed younger brother in arms, Keith Alexander. Let him put his 2 cents worth in.
Well, thank you, my esteemed up brother. or esteemed, excuse me. This is Keith. We're going to see whether we turn into the three musketeers or the three mouseketeers tonight. But James is always trying to tweak the show, and I think this will be a nice little
experiment. Maybe more like the Three Stooges, Keith.
Yeah, that's it, right. We know who Curly is.
The Gentile version. We're the Gentile version of the Three Stooges. All right, but it's gonna be fun. It's gonna be I guess the fun is over after this segment because then we got to get into amnesty, and I know y'all got some heated commentaries about that. We add Joe McCutchen to the mix, and it's gonna become an inferno here in the studio. And then second hour, we're gonna talk about Ferguson. We've got some insight on that I'm not sure any of the other broadcast radio programs have brought to the forefront here. So we've got an inside scoop on Ferguson, or at least one element or aspect of what's going on in Ferguson that I don't think I've heard anywhere else. And it's pretty interesting, and we'll kind of catch you up to date on what's going on in Ferguson. You probably know, but we'll offer our unique and muscular commentary on the topic. And all that and more tonight in the Political Cesspool. Should be a good show. I thought last week's show was absolutely phenomenal, with Joe McCutchen and Mark Weber anchoring the program as our guests. And Joe McCutchen was so nice, we had to have him twice in as many weeks. And so he'll be with us in just a few moments. But when we come back, we're going to begin the commentary on this amnesty by reading a couple of excerpts from Pat Buchanan's column, which I know Sam Bushman covered on his show on Friday. Rogue President was the title of Pat's column. And that's, I guess, putting it mildly. Keith, we'll let you begin this. A little teaser, a little preview of your thoughts after what happened on Thursday night here in the former sovereign Republic of the United States of America.
Well, gentlemen and ladies, I think this was the plan all along, regardless of whether or not the Democrats won this midterm election or not. In the last term, there was going to be nothing holding him back any longer. He doesn't have to worry about re-election or anyone else's re-election, so he's going to come out with all of the big guns firing. We'll talk more about this after these words from our sponsor.
The word vigor is defined in the dictionary as health and strength in body and mind. Do you have enough health and strength in body and mind? Would you like to pursue life with passion? Would you like to know where you stand when it comes to your vigor score? That's right. There's a free scientific test you can take now that'll help you find out what your vigor score is. Then you can do things to improve that score. Did you know that? It's absolutely free, F-R-E-E free. All you got to do is get a hold of Kurt Crosby. You can do so, C-U-R-T. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. Or call Kurt at 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Would you like to learn about the scientifically proven vigor test? It's free. How would you like to improve your vigor score? Again, inexpensive solutions are available now. Call Kurt Crosby at 801-669-2211. Or Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor score test today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled, we won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character, where educating both hearts and minds brings about academic excellence. There is a school in American Fork where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. Based on LDS principles and a love of country, now in our 39th year, American Heritage School is accepting fall enrollment for kindergarten through high school. What would you do for your child? Give them an education that will prepare them for life. Located east of the Temple in American Fork, American Heritage School is a remarkable and affordable alternative. Visit us, find us online, or in the Yellow Pages. American Heritage School in American Fork.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, we're going to be heavy tonight on amnesty and Ferguson, and let's dive into it right now. This is what Pat Buchanan had to write. We're going to have the full column posted to thepoliticalcesspool.org on Monday morning, but I'll read, I'm going to lift some of the most noteworthy passages. Here we go. Asserting a legal and constitutional authority he himself said he did not have, President Obama is going rogue, issuing an executive amnesty to 4 to 5 million illegal aliens. He will order the United States government to not enforce the law against these 5 million and declare that they are to be exempt from deportation and granted green cards. Where did Obama get his 4 to 5 million figure? Not 2 to 4 million or 5 to 7 million? Nowhere in law, but plucked out of his own mind as to what he thinks he can get away with. Barack Obama just felt that was the number that was about right. Thus does our constitutional law professor president faithfully execute the laws of the United States he has twice swore to uphold? Our rogue president has crossed a historic line, and so has the Republic. Future presidents will cite the Obama precedent when they declare they will henceforth not enforce this law or that law because of a prior commitment to some noisy constituency. We have just taken a monumental step away from republicanism and toward Caesarism. For this rule by dictate, the rejection of which sparked the American Revolution. The political, sociological, and moral effects of Obama's action will be dramatic. Sheriffs, Border Patrol, and immigration authorities who have put their lives on the line to secure our broken borders have been made to look like fools. Resentment and cynicism over Obama's action will be deeply corrosive to all law enforcement. With this amnesty, Obama takes custody of and responsibility for the entire illegal population. He is the patron saint of illegal aliens now. And for what they do, he will be held accountable. If the amnestied illegals contribute to the drug trade and violent crime, which we know they will, that will be Obama's legacy to this country. If they turn up disproportionately on the welfare rolls, exploding state and federal deficits, which we know they will, that will be Obama's legacy. If this amnesty is followed by a new invasion across the border America cannot control, that too will be Obama's gift to his countrymen. Today, in 2014, after an influx of perhaps 50 million in 50 years, legal and illegal, no longer from Northwest Europe or Europe at all, but Latin America, Africa, Asia, the Middle East, every race, color, creed, culture, and language, we seem less a nation and more some mammoth mall of America, not an economy, not a country, rather, but an economy. Running in 2008, Obama said he had intended to become a transformational president. With this decision, he succeeds. He has accelerated and ensured the remaking of America. Now, when the wives and children of these illegals arrive and their extended families apply for and receive visas and bring with them their wives and children, we will become a third world country of Obama's dream. No more a Western civilization. But then the community organizer did not much like that old America. Keith?
Well, you know, this was not something that he worries about being held accountable for, James. This is something that he intended, that the left has dreamt about for generations now. They're always going to force illegal immigration or third world immigration into white nations because, in final analysis, the end game of all liberalism is globalism. They think that national boundaries are outdated, outmoded, and are an impediment to their agenda, and indeed they are. On the other hand, the only reason there's been peace in Europe since World War II is that nation states were allowed to devolve out of these conglomerate states like Yugoslavia so that actual people, you know, races and specific ethnic groups could have their own nation. That's what we should be striving for. This is what, for example, Vladimir Putin is trying to do in Russia. But in America and in Western Europe in particular, the left is still firmly in control. We have a globalist Marxist in the presidency, and he is following the recipe that was first announced by German communist playwright Bertolt Brecht in 1948, which was, if you don't like the election results, change the electorate. They're going to change the electorate permanently in America so that no longer can the founding stock of America, or white people, for lack of a better term, will no longer have any real political voice. This is going to make the Democratic majority permanent because all third world people believe in a welfare state. They believe not in small government, but in large government. A small government, a government that does not provide them with goodies, is to them the very definition of a bad government. We're importing people like this, these bilge rats, into America to undermine the founding principles of this nation, to undermine the Constitution. And, of course, the Republicans are nothing more than token opposition to this. George W. Bush, the so-called saint, according to Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly and people like this, actually called the the U.S. Constitution a scrap of paper.
So what? Well, they didn't quite call it that. It was a GD piece of paper.
Yeah, a GD piece of paper.
From the same president who I remember when he was first running in the primaries, they asked him in a presidential debate what historical figure had the most impact on his life, and he, of course, said with a tear in his eye, Jesus Christ, and every evangelical Christian just flocked to vote for him and not a true Christian like Pat Buchanan. But anyway.
Yeah, well, anyway, well, their vision of Jesus Christ is that he was the first socialist and the first hippie. So
there you
have to understand where they're coming from when they say that. Now, cultural Marxism has succeeded beyond Antonio Gramsci's wildest dreams. Now we are inducing cultural pessimism. This is the last brick on the wall here that they're setting in place. They're going to destroy any national identity and cultural identity that the United States and Western Europe has through this forced amnesty. And the intention is to permanently and inalterably change the political landscape of America.
Well, it's happening. I think it would have been much worse if the Democrats weren't absolutely routed a couple of weeks ago. I think he would have given them full citizenship and given it indefinitely and for the full lot. As Pat said, he picked the 4 to 5 million number out of thin air. There's no reason for that. There's more than them than that. I don't know why he used that number. But as Pat said, it just seems it seemed about right to him. It just seemed as though the number he could get away with. But again, Eddie, and we're going to get Joe McCutchen on after the next commercial break, but we live in a country now, and this is not new, and we knew that they weren't enforcing these laws. Obama just reconfirmed that with this order. We live in a country in which our government picks and chooses arbitrarily which laws it's going to enforce. I mean, what kind of country is that? Yeah, that's some kind of a banana republic, and it always, though, works against the interests of the indigenous founding population, the dispossessed majority. Take it, Eddie.
Okay. Folks, I don't know how much time I got, but listen. First of all, I'm going to read you a little bit of this this thing we call.
You got about 60 seconds.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to read what we have, this little thing called the United States Constitution, which is the law of the land. And I'm going to skip down to the layer for about the middle of the first of the second paragraph. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness.
That's the direct Declaration of Independence.
And the purpose of government is to secure these natural rights. Listen, now here's a solution. I don't care. As a constitutionalist, I could care less whether Barry Satoro enforces the law or not. Because we, the people, the fourth branch of government, we're the ones that have the final say. We are supposed to enforce the law. If Barack does not enforce the law, then we, the people, have to enforce it by nullification. The constitutional law of the land gives us the blueprint. It's already there to follow the law. He doesn't have to worry about deporting the illegals. We can deport them, preferably to Washington, D.C. That's my solution. And also, stop sending our money to the federal government. We'll have our representatives in state government to stop sending the money to the feds. Starve the beast.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Eddie's going to still be on the mic, and Keith Alexander as well. When Joe McCutchen rejoins us for the second time in as many weeks, he's red hot and rolling on this one, folks. The immigration expert.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. Your home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the political cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people, but one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first-class mail are only $60 a year. Go to TOQonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's TOQonline.com. Subscribe now.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Well, folks, if for no other reason, Obama's executive order granting—well, I think he called it a presidential memo, you know, because there's a big difference between that and an executive order that grants amnesty. But if for no other reason, whatever he did in Las Vegas was good for us because it gave us an opportunity and a reason to welcome back Joe McCutchen for a consecutive week. And I didn't quite get my fill of Joe last week, so this gave us the perfect opportunity to bring him back. I won't waste any time reintroducing Joe because we gave a lengthy introduction last week, and I don't want to waste a precious second. But Joe McCutchen is our guy. When it comes to immigration, there is no guest I think the political cesspool could bring on that is more knowledgeable and has done more work to protect America from the legal and illegal invasion of the third worlders than Joe. I got with me in the studio tonight, Joe, someone I didn't last week, Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who you may remember, and he wanted to say a quick word before we dive into the order of the business. Go, Eddie.
Well, good evening, Joe. I tell you what, you were my all-time favorite guest, my brother. A matter of fact, when I first came up to this program, I guess back around 05, you were one of our big-time guests. What we had going on there then was the Minuteman Project down at the border, and as you well know, I don't know if the audience knows this, but Joe, you were up that in your eyeballs. Matter of fact, I remember you had your own private plane. You were flying, scout missions, et cetera, all along our southwest border with Mexico. And I tell you what, if you never did anything else in your life, you won my heart over then big time, Joe. And I'm so glad I got to be here tonight to talk to you. I missed you last night. How have you been doing, my man?
I've been doing very well, and thank you for the compliments. I think you've overdone it already.
Well, Joe, I got a provocative email. I'm on Joe's email list, and I would encourage everyone to stay connected with Joe via his website, ArkansasFreedom.com. Joe lives in Arkansas, ArkansasFreedom.com. But I got the email titled, "The Rubicon is at Our Backs." And that was just right on the money. Joe, why don't you break down for us in your own words what you witnessed on Thursday night and what it means for the country?
Well, James, Friday morning I got up unsettled, and I sent out this email in response to Barack Obama's Thursday evening conferring amnesty on 5 million, more like 25, 30 million, illegal Mexicans and OTM. And simply put, the email said, "The United States of America has crossed the Rubicon. Finay," which, for those of you listeners who are not familiar with Rubicon, the Rubicon is a river in northeast Italy. It's the famed river that Julius Caesar and his legions crossed, I think, in about 49 B.C. And at one place where they were alleged to cross the Rubicon, he made that famous statement, "Alea iacta est," which means the die is cast. And that's precisely Obama. The die was cast Thursday evening. And it is a sobering act that this man did. Put another way, I recall about one of my favorite football players, Dandy Don Meredith, who played for the Dallas Cowboys decades ago. Ultimately, he and Howard Cosell co-anchored the Monday Night Football. And at the conclusion of each game, Dandy Don would sing, "The party's over." Well, the party is over, and it's tragic. And I know there are listeners who think, you're over the edge. I've been in this business of trying to stimulate thought processes and educate for over 50 years, and I've watched our country deteriorate immensely over those decades. And our leadership has capitulated in view of their own personal power and money grabs. I just have to look at the record of those who claim to be conservative Republicans. I'm talking about the folks in office. And it's just a bad farce. Our deterioration is compliments of our own people, white politicians. This all commenced, well, actually it commenced during Abraham Lincoln's time. But from our point of view, this all commenced in the Reagan era and has proceeded to this point. And it's due to white Republicans, principally, who have refused to defend our existing immigration laws, which identify every aspect of illegal immigration. So many of our citizens still have roots in the founding stock. And we have been and are being run over by third and fourth world illegal nationals. And in many cases, Barack's thoughts and utterances the other night in Vegas created a feathering applause. So we have our own people to thank, our own white government officials to thank for the destruction of our republic. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, and I don't mean to interrupt you of all people, but I can't agree with you more. You know, we take all sorts of heat on this radio program for pointing out some of the pitfalls of so-called multiculturalism and so-called diversity and for shedding a light on Jewish power and influence and all of these things. But, you know, truly, you know, you speak the truth. We have no greater enemy than our sellout people. I mean, if the founding stock or the derivatives of the founding stock had any modicum of integrity or loyalty to their lineage, then we would still be a kind of country that we could be proud of. But it is our people that are our biggest enemies. And I know Eddie has a quick question for you, Joe, before we come up on a commercial break. And then I've really got to sink my teeth into this in the couple of minutes in the second segment, in the next segment. Go.
Joe, I may have to save my question for the second segment, but I would like to say I'm a little bit more optimistic because, you know, what the Constitution of the United States, the law of the land, gives us a remedy to solve this rogue government in Washington, D.C. You know, Article 10, I believe it is, the Constitution says that all powers not delegated to the United States government, to the United States Congress, is reserved to the people and or the people, or is reserved to the people or the states thereof, something like that. You see, we have remedy for this. We have, it's called nullification. All we have to do is get our politicians, our state reps, starting at the counties, going on up to, you know, for the villages, the counties, the state, to nullify this illegal.
Well, there's certainly a remedy, Eddie, but that's what Joe's talking about. I mean, how do we get these people to all of a sudden do what's correct and what's constitutionally sound? And Joe, I mean, is there any way to do that? I mean, certainly it doesn't appear to be.
No, I'll give you two reasons right quickly here. Number one, Barack Obama has said from the inception of his inaugural address, and even before, what he was going to do, fundamentally transform this nation. And he has been wildly successful in destroying every aspect of it. Now, the Republicans, to tie this in with Eddie's thought, the Republicans have 6 years to formulate a plan to overturn Barack Obama's criminal activities. They openly admit this day they have no plan. And in our state of Arkansas, and this is national, by the way, there is a concerted effort to overturn the Seventh Amendment, the right to trial by jury. Republicans call that tort reform. They are corrupt to the core. So why on earth, in view of their past inactivity, hunkered under their desk in a fetal position, why does anybody think that the Republicans will shore up their backbone and oppose this ravaging, pillaging president?
Well, I think we can agree that the prescription that Eddie writes is sound and would do the trick if only we had people to enforce it. But, Eddie, you don't truly believe that those people exist, do you?
Well, yes, I do. Ask me tomorrow night, I'll probably be more pessimistic, but tonight I'm pretty optimistic. To quote To quote Sam Dixon, one of my friends. Oh, I'm sorry. To quote Sam Dixon, one of my friends who was at the little Seth birthday party, he said, and he's truthfully, he's this one thing what I agree with him on. He said things are going to have to get really, really bad. I mean, smoking hot bad in this country before we the people will get the courage to stand up. And Sam Dixon says, as far as he's concerned, let the bad times roll. And Joe, that's what I say. I say let the bad times roll. And this might sound like a religious fanatic, but God never has worked through a majority. God has always worked through a minority. And we do have a minority in this country. I'm getting back in.
If that's the case, then Eddie, I think we're going to be sitting pretty because I think we're right there.
Well, we do have oath keepers. We have.
Well, I got a quote. We got to come up and break. The music's playing, but when we come back, I'm going to toss it right back to Joe, and we're going to get him to gauge the Republican rhetoric. I've got a collection of quotes here compiled by our friends at the Southern Poverty Law Center.
We have to cut them loose. We got to stop thinking on the federal level. We just need to cut that umbilical cord. They're dead. We have to operate as we're on a ship alone. Well, to the states. The hell with the federal government. They only exist.
We're going to come back and continue this. Stay tuned, everybody.
Sorry, I hope I didn't cut you off too bad, son.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829 or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
We're ready. All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Joe McCutcheon here with us, and I've got to get this in. We have an email for Joe, and it ties into something I was going to bring up anyway at the top of this segment. So, Joe, we will agree that the American people, as always, voting for the lesser of two evils as they see it. sent the Republicans into the Congress with an absolute mandate. I mean, the Democrats were waxed at the ballot box. And if they hadn't been routed so bad, I think what Obama would have said on Thursday night would have been much worse. All right, but the Republicans sent were elected in a mandate on this issue, or this was one of the biggest issues, I believe, that people voted for them, believing that finally, maybe once, for God's sake, the Republicans would do something right. And here's the rhetoric, though, that we've compiled. This is just some of the things coming up from the GOP in response to Obama's dictate. Senator Coburn warns that it could lead to, quote, anarchy and violence in the streets. Representative Mo Brooks of Alabama said that his actions should warrant a, quote, unquote, jail penalty. Michelle Bachmann, none of these necessarily friends of ours, obviously, but saying that this legalizes millions of, quote, illiterate people. Kansas Secretary of State Chris Kobach says that Obama's plan might amount to ethnic cleansing of white people, adding that it appeared to be in an effort to, quote, replace American voters with newly legalized aliens to create a, quote, locked vote for socialism. It goes on and on from there. Even Glenn Beck, who is utterly abominable, warned that Obama's executive actions, along with a possible decision not to indict in Ferguson, would lead to a race war. Stuart Rhodes of Oath Keepers said that if Republicans do not impeach the president for his actions, then the people would seek out, quote, other options to deal with the man who violated his oath grossly. So this is the rhetoric coming out from the Republican camp, Joe, in the days since Thursday. And here's the email to you that ties right into that. Do you believe that the Republicans will fight this with any seriousness?
No. No. As you recall last week, and I did not do a good job, I gave you 12 reasons why the Republicans will not move off their behinds. But I fail to tie these reasons to Republican congressmen, senators, Republican hierarchy, and Republican operatives. And if you will allow me, I'd like to go back over those very quickly. These are all linked to the Democrat Party, but utterances said by Republicans. Cooperative partnership, work with, consensus building, consensus, bipartisan, negotiate, compromise, hearing. These are all escape routes for the Republicans. They will do nothing. The one leader I thought might be able to make a stand was Senator Ted Cruz. But I understand that Mitch McConnell has neutralized Cruz. And then when I research Cruz, I find out that his genetics and his wife's employer is very troubling. But no, the Republicans will do nothing. Just look at the record. The only thing.
Well, I know. Well, no, right. I mean, it's insanity to believe that after, you know, decades of betrayal, they're going to get it right this time. It just so what do you think they're going to do? And I'm tossing it over to Eddie. I mean, so they're going to gripe about this and talk about how unconstitutional it is. And then despite having complete control of the Congress, which, of course, the Congress means House and Senate, they could do whatever they wanted to do. Are they, you know, Sam Bushman, our good friend here on the network, says they could defund, impeach and file criminal charges. Is this an impeachable offense, Joe?
Well, certainly it is. It goes further than that, but that'll never happen. And and they will talk about having conferences and hearings and all this nonsense. The Republicans are good at one thing, and they come by their name very good. They call themselves the Party of Lincoln. That they are warmongering, and that's all. They're murderers, killers, and continually invading through preemption other countries. They're now in the process of getting into Syria. They've undermined the duly elected president of Ukraine. So there will be another war created to take the eyes of immigration out of the minds of American people. And Americans are so emotional, they'll embrace all this warmongering. And I know I'm topically addressing this, but no, it's not going to happen. I've long said that if for any hope of restoring America back to its preeminence, it'd be done by Southerners and more specifically rednecks. That's that simple.
Amen.
And
Amen. Now, I was just agreeing with you, brother. Amen to that. Eddie?
Joe, I'd like to come back, and you just made my point. Joe, my good brother in arms, that's why we have to cut the cord on the Republican Party. We have to stop thinking about the feds. We need to start thinking like Washington, D.C. doesn't even exist. We need to start thinking on the county and the state level. To quote Jim Rothstein and Senator John DeCamp from Nebraska, who were instrumental in investigating all kinds of sex crimes and drug crimes, satanic crimes in Washington, D.C., I'll tell you why the Republicans won't do anything. Because most of them, a large majority of them, are sexual perverts. They are pedophiles. They are drug addicts. Jim Rothstein says that anywhere from 30% to 50% of the entire Washington, D.C. establishment has been compromised by the globalists on audio, video, having sex with children, all kinds of perverted satanic crap. And the globalists have the goods on them. They can come and release this information anytime they want to. These people are totally corrupt. Well, they're satanic. They're useless. We have to get rid of them. And I like to say, we do not need a majority. All we need is a minority. It took 3% of the people in the United States of America to defeat the mightiest empire the world ever known in the War of 1776. We're already exposed, Joe. We need people like James Edwards, me, Keith, you. It might take some of our bones in the ground, to quote John Wayne and the Searchers. I know Keith don't like that movie. It was really a great movie in some ways.
By exposing Republicans and all politicians by name,
but you know what?
They can't stand.
We need to cut them loose, Joe. Well, to heck with exposing them. Everybody knows they're junk. Yeah. We need to cut the cord. Treat them like they just don't exist. Stop sending our tax money to Washington, D.C., first of all. Nullify everything they've done under Article 10 of the Constitution. That's what we got to do. And we have to take a small cadre of leaders like us to get that done. And with that, I'm going to go back to Sunboy, because I know he's burning this mic, man.
Well, I was just going to say, regardless of what crimes they may or may not have committed, they're certainly all
documented.
Well, as Joe has pointed out, they are criminally corrupt to the core, and they are all bought and paid for at the very least. But Joe, you got two more points, and the floor is all yours.
Barack Obama is probably the biggest racist in the history of man. Brock's credo is simply, it's in your face, Whitey. What are you going to do about it? And a Republican response has always been, nothing, Mr. President. We won't further irritate those Hispanics. We have to run for re-election. And all of Barack's opulence, his luxuries, his vulgar spending, his unilateral attacks on other countries, Libya comes to mind, Egypt, and Republicans do nothing. It's just so earth-shaking that we can lose our republic by the likes of a lightweight like Barack Obama.
Now, ain't that the truth?
Are you aware of information, credible information, that has come down today that Barack probably did not issue an executive order dealing with this amnesty? Are you aware of that?
Well, we had called it, I think he referred to it as a presidential memo. I mean, what are you getting at, Joe?
Well, I'm just saying that if, in fact, that there is no executive order, and he just two memoranda issued this ultimatum to confer amnesty to 5 million,
yeah, I see what you're getting at.
A rogue government run by a dictator.
So not only is it illegal, it's not even on a piece of paper. It's just he said it on TV, so let it be done. I mean, I get what you're getting at, Joe.
Well, even if he did issue a so-called executive order, whatever the hell that is, it's not in the Constitution anywhere. The president, no president has ever had the authority to issue an executive order. The president cannot make legislation. The legislative body is the Congress.
Well, of course, he's saying
the people have to stand up. The fourth branch of government has to stand up. You, James Edwards, have to stand up. Keith Alexander.
Well, Keith's doing crunches in the floor right now. So when he gets done with that, he's getting ready for the fight. But here's the thing. Let me say this.
We got our hot buttons pushed tonight, Joe.
I know we're getting fired up here, but basically, he just confirmed that what we already knew is that the government is not going to enforce this law, which will open the floodgates for any number of more. It's treason. It's impeachable. The Republicans have all the power in the world to do anything they want to do. And unfortunately, when I asked Joe the question, would they do anything with this power? He said no. And what makes that prediction so dire is that Joe, I've never known him to be wrong. And so we will see when the Republicans take control of Washington in January if they'll do any more about this than they did Obamacare. You know, that was the whole reason to vote for him originally, was to get him to overturn Obamacare. You don't even hear about that anymore.
My son, and you are my son, I'd like to correct you. They have no power. They have no power. They never have, because I'd like to go back to what I told you. Son, you know as well as I do. They are compromised to the bone. They're evil. The globalists have the goods on them. 20% of them are pedophiles.
Well, no, 50%
of them are sexual
perverts. They don't
really
have the power.
It's documented.
All right, I know you're.
Go to our archives and listen to the Jim Rothstein interview.
We had Jim on. That's his opinion. All right, Joe McCutcheon, thank you so much for coming back on. I know it was a free for all, but we appreciate your time.
My pleasure, James. Thanks.
Take care. ArkansasFreedom.com. We're going to let Eddie go into the corner of the locker room and cool off. We're going to bring Keith up on deck after that. Stay tuned, everybody.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.